Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you haven't taken part in Operation Christmas Child before, this year we're putting a greater emphasis on that. And here's a little bit to give you an idea of why we do that. Have a look at this.
Yo traje a mis hermanos porque hoy día vi una fiesta. Que les podía alegrar a ellos. Y así mi papi, la plata que él trabajaba, él se iba solo a la borrachera. Y siempre cuando venía borracho le sabía venir a pegar a mi mamá. Le dejaba así con los ojos verdes. Y cuando mis papis así se peleaban, mis hermanos también lloraban así. Le sabía decir a mi papi que ya no le pegue a mi mamá.
Story is really sad for me because something like she had happened to me too in my family. So I totally understand what she's going through. It's a sadness, a very deep sadness. You want to die, you don't know what to do, or sometimes you just feel like there is no hope at all, so you don't have anything to do about it. But then Jesus comes to your life and gives you the hope you needed.
Esa cajita era como algo tan especial que nos vino a nosotros, que así casi me daban ganas de llorar porque estaban cosas hermosas así. Yo pensaba que era así algo que nos mandaba Dios.
I grew up in an orphanage, and I remember the days when people sent gifts for us to be able to understand that there is God and there is hope.
Conozcan un poco más de que Dios les quiere y que les ha perdonado todos sus pecados y que conozcan un poco más de Él. Que le haga de cambiar, que ya no sea como antes, que ya no se haga al alcohol y que cambie porque nosotros también estamos sufriendo, no solo Él.
The life in Christ is different. You can love even if you pass through difficult situations. And Andrea, she is now a missionary. A missionary to her house. A missionary to her parents. To her brothers and sisters.
Leer ese libro me ha cambiado la vida porque puedo enfrentar las cosas. Casi como lo hizo así David con Goliat cuando se enfrentó con una onda y sus piedras y le venció a Goliat.
The greatest journey is not only a Bible course, it goes beyond. It is really a discipleship program that enables you to walk with Jesus Christ.
Por lo que orábamos, entonces, pero después ya se iba un poco más así arreglando. De entonces sí empezamos a salir yo, mis hermanos, así mi mami, y ya empezaba ya así a orar, así por todas las noches, la mañana, por la comida, así. Y que Dios nos ha ayudado tanto en nuestra familia que ya vivimos más felices.
So I hope we understand that when you're packing a box, you're packing hope and you're giving opportunity for others to know Jesus. That's why we pack boxes. So if you've done boxes before and you're kind of, we do boxes, really do boxes this year. It's really important. There's no good segue into the message. So here we go. When I was a teen, I started to really get some things straight with God and began to have some leadership opportunities. Others saw some things in me. And I quickly discovered that it was very different than from going to a Bible study or like a discussion time, which I love to do. Now when I'm teaching, I had to know some things and I had to begin to study myself. And so I began to pay more attention during sermons and I began to borrow resources and dig a little deeper. And what I found is that as I began to study and learn and teach others, it really impacted my life because the Word of God came alive and fresh and real in ways that it hadn't before. And eventually I ended up following God's call in the ministry and into Bible college and doing a whole lot more of that. And what I discovered is that my experience was not unique to me, that many others discover that. In fact, that's what the Word of God is to do, is to become alive and active and powerful in your life. And so this morning, I've asked Tara McPherson to share a bit of her story so you can learn how that same journey she's taken, how God's Word has impacted her life, both through what she's learned, and she works in Christian higher education now. And so would you welcome her as she comes?
Good morning. As Jeremy said, my name is Tara McPherson, and I'm here just to share a little bit of my story as it relates to kind of learning Jesus' teaching. I want to kind of start when I was about 15 years old. I was very discontent being at home living with my mom and my stepdad. And so I saw this advertisement for this opportunity where I could go somewhere for 3 months in the summer overseas. And I thought that sounded really great because I got to fly on an airplane, I'd be out of the house, and I'd be somewhere warm, hopefully. I showed it to my mom, who recognized it as a missions trip. I had no idea what that was at that time. And she signed me up. And so off I went at age 15, spending 3 months in Fiji and Australia, as far away as I possibly could get. But during that time, one of the requirements was that every morning we had to spend 30 minutes reading the Bible. We were allowed our Bible, nothing else. No secondary resources, nothing but prayer and the Bible. And that time and that discipline completely transformed my life. By the time I got back, I was such a different person that even though I looked relatively the same with a few minor changes, I had people from my school reintroduce themselves to me because they thought I was a new student who had just transferred in. And that summer, and spending time in his word, really transformed my soul and instilled a desire and a calling for full-time Christian service. I didn't know what that would mean at the time, but that journey then led me to enrolling as a student at Emmanuel Bible College. And I loved that first year, learning more about an overview of the Bible. I had the opportunity to go to Israel for one of my classes and really see and have these pages kind of come alive. And by second year, I started digging into more theology, people's interpretations of the Bible, and learning more things like that. I don't know if you guys remember a few years back when Mark Bond, who was the president of Emmanuel at the time, came and spoke. But he defined the word sophomore in that sermon as the root of the word being a wise idiot. And I can say that for most Bible college students around year two, they are wise idiots. We think we know just enough. And I was fortunate enough to continue studying. And so by the time I graduated 4 years later, I could safely say that the best gift that Emmanuel Bible College gave me was the knowledge that I really know nothing at all. And so I continued to live out my space. I spent a year doing urban ministry in Philadelphia, and then I decided to enroll in seminary to continue my teaching and continue learning. And so I got a job eventually downtown Toronto at a mission organization and continued my studies part-time. Just always pairing those two things in terms of studying his word, but then also learning more about his teaching in the context of a Bible college or seminary. But then it got really difficult, because also during that time is when marriage and children and responsibilities and caring for a household came into play. And suddenly it wasn't so easy to get up and spend a half an hour or an hour every morning. And so I remember during those times just putting Bibles all around the house in near any chair that I might possibly sit at for 10 seconds during the day. And the bare minimum I would got is maybe just even a verse. I remember spending afternoons when the kids were sleeping for nap, doing online courses, continuing my education. I would convince my mom to come for a week so I could participate in a one-line intensive course. But through all that, it was just wanting to just continue to keep my foot in that door, to continue not only spending time in his word, but also spending time studying that as well. And so that journey continued on, and eventually my husband and I moved here, and I'm now working back at Emmanuel Bible College. But as I read often, I thought it was ironic because Jeremy and I chatted briefly about this before, but not about verses. And so I had picked the same verse that was on the screen a few minutes ago. From Hebrews 4, chapter 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and lay bare to the eyes of the one whom we must render an account." And sometimes, in the busiest of life, I look around and I see all the Bibles that we have in our house, all the resources we have access to, all the schools that are local that we could study and learn, the internet and all the resources that are there. And I think how fortunate we are, because that's not the case for everyone. There are people that don't have the opportunity to read the Bible in their own language. They don't have the opportunity to read it in so many versions that we have at our fingertips. And I can't help but think, on that day when I'm rendering my account, when I'm standing before the throne, if I'll look back and say, I used my time well, or if I'll look back and say, I wish I didn't spend so much time on the screen, or so much time cleaning my house, or so much time doing, and then you can fill in the blanks there. But my hope and my prayer is that no matter how difficult it is, that every morning it's a new day and a new opportunity to spend time in his word, to study his teaching, and to allow this living and active and powerful Spirit of God to transform my soul.
Why don't we give her a hand? Thank you so much. So Caleb, if you just want to jump back a slide there. So today we're looking at this statement from the Way of Jesus, being seven statements we use just as to intentionally follow Jesus. And I am learning the teachings of Jesus. And I'm so thankful for Tara sharing, because that's exactly what the Word of God is to do. We want this fluid relationship with Jesus where he's directing us moment by moment under the influence of the Holy Spirit, but we also want to, you know, study and learn ahead, and sometimes the two seem to be at odds, but they're not. And like she said, there are so many who don't have God's word and follow Jesus quite well, but they would die, literally some of them, to have his word so that there's clarity, and it's something of a precious gift for us. And I think sometimes reading the Bible is a bit like flossing, right? Everybody knows you should do it. Very few people do it regularly. The ones who do it all the time just assume everybody else does. So why are you telling us to floss? We all know that. I do that. And the ones who don't want to tell anyone because it's embarrassing that you don't do that. And so reading our Bible is kind of like that. We all know we should, but just being told you should isn't enough to actually go and do it. So why would we bother? Why is it that we learn the teachings of Jesus? And when we say the teaching of Jesus, we mean the whole Bible. Well, some of the reasons to study and learn from God's word are here. Cultural relevance and literacy. What I mean is the Bible educates us so that we're relevant to the culture around us and we're literate. God does that. Knowing what it actually says, so we have clarity. When someone says, oh, I think the Bible says this, and you can say yes or no, we have some clarity. To help others, to know about Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, know about this, but also to know him. We know him through his word. To avoid error, to overcome temptation, to gain new priorities and perspective. And where we'll spend the rest of our teaching time this morning is to know how God sees us so we can obey. Tara was completely transformed because God gave her a new view of herself and changed her in that. So she became more obedient and wasn't just transformed on the inside, but transformed in how she lived her life. So if you want to put that passage back up on the screen, Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, it's up here. The Word of God, when we read it here, it just means anything God has spoken. So that's especially significant in what Jesus says in the Bible, but it's all of it. And it's also what he speaks in our heart outside the Bible. See, the Bible won't cover everything you go through in life. It just won't. It can't. The Pharisees tried to set up all sorts of a religious system of law to address every problem you might ever face, and they failed. And Jesus said that's not what this is about. The Bible generally deals with about everything you'll encounter generally, but the Holy Spirit speaks God's word to you, makes it come alive so that you specifically know what it means, understand it, and how to obey. It's not static. It's alive, and it's powerful. See, God's word is different than our words. When we speak, we try and help understand others understand concepts or ideas that are on the inside. We're explaining things. When God speaks, things happen. When Jesus speaks, he doesn't just explain the intent of his heart. It actually comes to pass. So in Genesis, we see in Psalm 33 that God spoke creation into being from nothing. He just spoke it and it was. That's different than my words. I can't just say, kids, clean your room, and it is, right? It just doesn't happen that way. His words are different than ours. And at the end of time, Revelation says that God, through his word, he will overcome all the nations and have the great victory and enter into new rest. John 6:63 says this, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." His words accomplish things. Isaiah 55:10-11 basically say the same thing as Hebrews. It says this, "The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." In some mysterious way, Jesus abides in his word. And when we read his word and when we speak his word, we're a part of that, making that happen. It comes alive and real in our life. And so it says that his word cuts through. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Don't take that as a... Some people have taken this verse and built a theology about how our human bodies are made up and what soul and what spirit. And that's not what it's saying at all. It's not even referring to that. It's an illustration to say that God's word cuts deep. It cuts through all our walls and all our excuses and the way we try and hide from God. His word cuts through all of that. When it's just us, as Tara said, just us and a Bible and God, his word, both from the Bible and from what he's speaking into our hearts, cuts deep. And so the author uses two illustrations. Verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow." And that's our first illustration. And this is a double-edged sword. Now, what makes, now you may not understand this because I'm sure many of you have never brandished a double-edged sword into battle, okay? Probably none of us have done that. If you have, that's scary. So, but a double-edged sword is very different than a surgeon's scalpel. A surgeon's scalpel is sharp on one side. It makes a very precise cut that heals easily and comes, and I'm sorry, if you're squeamish, I'm really, really sorry, okay? So it comes together very easily. A double-edged sword, if you look right down the blade, you'll notice it takes a diamond shape with the sharp edge on top and the sharp edge on the bottom, and eventually they come together in the tip. Now, what's unique about that is in order to keep its strength, it has to be a little bit thick. That's where the diamond shape comes from. When you sharpen it, it gets thinner. And so when that's thrust into something, the two edges both cut, but on top of that, this diamond shape, this double-edged sword, it actually tears things open a little bit, and it leaves the wound gaping and empty. And so the author's saying, look, not only does God's word cut right to your heart, it cuts through all your excuses, all the ways you try and hide from God, all the things you say, no, God, I'm this way. And he says, no. When that is pulled out, it leaves you exposed. It's a gaping wound. And then he jumps into his next illustration about vulnerability. The rest of verse 12 and the beginning of verse 13 says this, It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, that term naked and exposed, that may seem, yeah, God views us and we can't hide anything, but there's something deeper to this term, because the term in Greek that's used for this whole idea of being naked and exposed is only ever used in the Bible here, just once. And it's only been found outside the Bible a few times, and it has to do with wrestling. It has to do with a hold that would be put around an opponent's neck, and it's very vulnerable, and that opponent would be left defenseless, and it's a victory. In terms of like UFC, MMA, it's like an armbar, a submission hold. They'd have to tap out with that hold. That's what these people are reading. They're saying, oh, okay, I get that. So the word of God, and they would have understood this sword, right? Because the Romans and others around, this is the weapon of choice at the time in that place. And so they get it. Yeah, I understand. I have a friend who, you know, messed around with a sword and got cut or something like that. I understand the kind of wound that it exposes, that it cuts very deep. I understand that kind of a hold, right? I get that. And so we know that God's word just cuts deep. It exposes us. It leaves us with nothing. And the whole context of this passage is about God's rest. It's speaking about the new heaven and the new earth when Jesus comes again and we can enter into his rest. And the reality that this passage is coming to give us fair warning and help so that we can stand before God accountable and look back and say, I've said yes to Jesus. Now, John 14:26 says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. It's not enough that his word cuts deep, that we're exposed, because then we can still be left with our own power, our own willpower to try and do well. So, you know, we discover that it's wrong to lie in God's word, and we've been lying, and so now I'm going to try and lie better. But we don't lie better. Not lie. Don't lie. I'm going to try and do better and lie less. Okay? Whew, that was bad. But what the Holy Spirit does is he helps us understand that. We may read a verse about lying, or we may read these verses and we don't quite understand it. Have you ever had that? You read it and it's like, I don't understand this. And apart from the Holy Spirit, the Bible says itself that apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't understand God's word. It's God's Holy Spirit who makes it alive and active. It's living in the sense that I can go to the same passage again and again and again, and God will have something completely different for me every time. Same lesson, different application, because God's Holy Spirit makes it alive. It's active in the sense that my application may be different every time. This isn't talking situational ethics or everything's gray. It's about God personalizing his word. This is not a religious system where we have this book we look into and it tells us how to live, and we better live that way or God is going to be displeased with us and we won't go to heaven. That's not what this is at all. It is his living active word to show us Jesus, to bear our soul and show us that we have nothing in us that's any good to be saved, but that Jesus Christ did it anyway. And he died on the cross for us so that we might receive salvation and be set free and walk a new way, be transformed completely. How awesome would it be to come back and have people not recognize you because the thing you thought that was internal is actually external. And so God's word is living and it's active. And so I want to encourage us to learn the word of God. Why? Because it reveals your heart and it helps you say yes to Jesus. Why is that important? The end of verse 13 says that we will give an account to God. Now, there is a couple judgments talked about in the book of Revelation. One of them is basically on whether you're a Christian or not. Have you received forgiveness from Jesus, been set free and cleansed and made new? Do you have a new nature under Christ? And if you do, you don't stand at that judgment. If not, that's what the judgment is all about. But for those who are in Christ, there's a separate one where I don't quite understand it. Scholars don't quite understand it, but the text is very clear. We will give an account on how we live for Jesus. In other words, we will give an account on whether we said yes to Jesus each time his word cut deep, we were exposed, and did we say yes? Because when it's just you the Bible and God, you only have two choices, right? There's only two choices. You either obey or you disobey. You either are softened towards God's leading and you choose to walk that way, or you get defensive and you are hardened and you disobey. Either you choose God's way or you choose your own. That's it. That's why it's important that we learn the Bible, learn the teachings of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit, one of the things we learn in John 14 is that he brings into remembrance all that we need. Now, this might seem basic, but how's the Holy Spirit going to bring up to remembrance in the moments we need it the words of God that aren't there? Do you get what I mean? If we're not taking time ahead of time to dig into Scripture for God to speak personal words that mean something, that when we go about our day, a month, a year, 2 years, 15 years down the road, and the Holy Spirit brings up this memory, this verse, this understanding, because it's for that moment. If we didn't take the time now, what's he going to bring up? Because here's how it happens. When we look into God's word, we go back to ground zero, right? We're like, I need to know what you're saying. And there's a bit of a process there. I go through a process. And I'm going to share that with you in a few minutes of how I look at God's word, how I understand it, how I apply it. Because all I can do is teach you what I do, and hopefully it helps you. But when I do that, just me and God, that's good. But when I'm out and about and something happens, I don't have the time to crack my Bible and look into the background and allow the Holy Spirit to take a moment with me and all this stuff. I don't have time to do that. God just wants to bring that up and go, do this now. You know this. If I'm not taking time beforehand, it's not there. Now, that being said, the Holy Spirit gives grace, and he'll do that. God is God. But it's much, much better if you've already got that internally. If you've been developing a strong relationship with Jesus, if you're gaining in your knowledge and your understanding and wisdom of the Bible. Because what is knowing the Bible all about? It has nothing to do with knowledge. It has everything about to do with saying yes. It's all about obedience. When you read your Bible, when you study, when you take a Bible course, anything like that, it's not about your knowledge. Although that's great. I like to learn. I'm a learner. I like it. I hate classes, but I like learning. It's a weird thing, okay? But I love learning things. And so I can be stuck on learning that information. But the information is supposed to lead to wisdom. That's understanding it and how to use it. And that lead to application and obedience. That's the point here. So some of you are saying, all right, Jeremy, you've been to Bible college. Tara's been to Bible college. I don't want to go to Bible college. And you can. You should look into EBC. There's all sorts of courses you can audit. There's sometimes even coupons and things you can take through a church to get a discount and different things like that. It's very accessible. It's in town. It's over by Fairview Park Mall. Great courses. Great place to go. Absolutely. There's other places like Crossways of Life. And also, we got all sorts of resources in town here where you can learn online or take courses. You might be saying, look, that's not me. I just don't want to read a theology textbook and take a church history course and do all this. That's fine. That's fine. But those are good tools, so don't discount them. But I want to share with you the simplicity of Jesus, who would speak to children, and children could understand Jesus. The thing about Jesus is, if you came to him thinking you knew what you knew, and you just wanted to glean something a little bit from him, he was completely ununderstandable. That's why he said, I want you to be ever hearing but never really listening. I want you to be ever seeing but never perceiving. Jesus isn't being cryptic. He's saying, look, if you come to me thinking you know it all, in your own pride, you're going to miss it. And you're looking for this like quick, easy peasy, lesson to get in, get out, and walk away. He says, I don't work that way. I'll give you something exactly the way you need it. Simple enough that a child can understand. But if you ask, seek, and knock just a little deeper, then the whole wonderful array of God's depth of wonder and his teaching and this depth is available to you. And you just got to dig a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper. And so that's what I started to learn to do, is dig a little bit deeper. And that's what I want you to do. And I think, as I've thought about this over the past few years, I think I do this naturally. This isn't a proud thing. I think I've been doing this so long that it's become natural to me. I don't necessarily ask these questions except when I'm studying, like specifically. I use these every week. So if you do this, you'll start preaching. It's great. It's wonderful. This is all I do. This is all I do. You can do this. And I do this naturally now whenever I look at the Bible, and I do this intentionally asking these questions whenever I'm studying the Bible. So here's the questions to ask. Okay, it's really simple. Okay, what is the author saying? This might seem really basic. There's two pitfalls we have when we learn God's word. There's two things we do that we do wrong that miss the whole point. The first one is not doing that. We read the Bible and check it off on our list of things to do and get out of there as quick as we can. And we don't remember, I don't remember what I read, I don't want to, look for the subject, okay? Not everyone does this, but I have been prone to do this, right? You're busy, you're getting in there, I'm just going to read this one psalm, great, I got to the end, looks like it's the next chapter, let's move on with my life, right? And we forget this. What is the author saying? What's the subject? So what's the subject of our passage today? What if you had to say, you know, you're in an exam and you look at Hebrews 4, 12, and 13, what's the subject matter? Anyone want to take a shot at it? Remember, it's living and active, so there's no right answer. All right. Well, there's more right than less. Anybody? What do you think it's talking about? What's the general topic of Hebrews 4, 12, and 13? What do you think? God's word. There you go. Done. That wasn't hard. Just look at it. There. God's word. That's great. You may find a different subject matter. Other than that, it has to be in the text. We can't say, you know, that was speaking about whatever, marriage. It's not really talking about marriage. Okay, so what is the author saying about what he or she is saying? So what's the content there? And if we dig through the content about God's word, is that it's living and active. It cuts deep. It exposes us. It leaves us naked before God and that we'll give an account someday. That's great. That's applicable. That's the next level down. You can take that, run with that, go to God and say, how do you want me to apply that? How do I understand this? What do I do with this, God? That's enough. But if you miss this next step, you're missing a whole lot of good stuff. So, what is the intended meaning for the first listeners? So, the first problem is that we usually just kind of look, we don't ask the question, we get in, we get out, and we're done. The next one is to skip to the fourth question. Okay, God, what's that mean for me? And if we skip there, we sometimes miss stuff. So, in this passage for today, you know, you can say, okay, it's a double-edged sword. Do you know that there's a few different ways we can take that? If you take the double-edged sword illustration and kind of assume that this author is meaning the same thing as in Ephesians with the full armor of God, that it's the sword of the Spirit, you'd be wrong. You'd be wrong because the sword of the Spirit is something different in Ephesians than the sword, the word of God being a sword here. Same illustration, completely different meaning. You got to dig a little bit. And that whole context of that wrestling move, you'd miss that. Yeah, God knows and naked and bare and stuff. No, God gets us in this wrestling move with his word, and it's like, are you going to, he's not forcing us to obey or not, but literally in our spirits, we only have one choice. We can admit, we can tap out and say, you're right, God, I agree. You see me for who I am, and I need to repent, I need to confess, I need to grow, I need to do all this. Thank you for your love. I know you love me. I'm not deplorable to you, all these things, all these truths. We have to tap out and say, you're right, God. That's such a different meaning than all things are, you know, bared before God and he knows all things and our hearts are naked. Of course we know that. You would just whoop, whip right over that and there's a depth of meaning to ask that. When Jesus is standing teaching a parable and he's using an object lesson like a kernel of wheat or a field or farming or fruit or vines, what did the first hearers hear? Because that's the first intended meaning. And if you can get that, then you know what Jesus meant originally. And that's what gets us to the most important part where we need to get to. What is God saying to me today? That's why we do the Hearing God course in the spring. We'll do that again. How do you listen to the voice of God? How do you find it from God's word? How do you learn those personalized words? What is God saying to me today just for me so I can obey? So he can strengthen me, and so that his word comes alive to me. Absolutely. And if you skip those steps, it's okay. You're still going to get something, but if you go through. So what I found is I had to get other resources. I didn't know that about double-edged swords. I didn't know that about the wrestling thing. I'm not smart enough. I don't know Hebrew and Greek like these scholars I read. Find resources. Find good resources. Ask friends. Whenever you're unsure about something in the Bible, you always have the Holy Spirit. You go to him first, and you always have the church. That means your church here, your church family, and the writings of the church. You know, scholars who've dug in and archaeologists, and there's a wonderful series downstairs if you're not into reading too much. Although you should read. You should do that. Called That the World May Know. It's by Focus on the Family. It's Vanderlands, his last name, and he just goes through Israel. And exactly what you're saying, going to Israel and learning the actual, and he teaches. When Jesus said this, he meant this and this, and when you see Bethlehem, this, and King Herod, this, and they would have understood this, and it opens up this whole wealth of knowledge that if that sits in your heart, God has more to work with. The Holy Spirit has more to work with. One day you will stand and give an account of how and when you said yes to Jesus. I don't know how that works. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what the end result of that completely is. There's all sorts of views and opinions and stuff. I tend to just think it's more along the lines of, for me here, it's knowing that God's intimately involved with my life. And as I obey him, it's for his glory and my good. And so the author here in Hebrews is saying, look, you're going to enter into this promised rest one day. But before you get there, you're going to stand before God. And he's going to ask you, how did you use your gifts? Did you say yes to me? Did you love my word? Did you take the opportunities I was giving you so that not only would you grow and experience abundant life, not only would you experience my word to be living and active, did you take the opportunities to share that with others? Did you get your life in such a place that at any moment I could use you and the Holy Spirit would bring this up? Oh yeah, that verse, this thing, that thing, out in the real world, not here, not in your quiet time, because that's just the training zone. That's just where you learn. You live it out there. And so I really want to encourage you. Learn the word of God because it reveals your heart and it helps you say yes to Jesus. Learn the word of God because it reveals your heart. It shows you how infinitely important you are. It helps you understand your identity in him, but it also weeds out these old sinful patterns and shows you for who you really are. It helps you say yes to Jesus, and that's why we want to do that. And I just want to say thank you again to Tara for encouraging us. This was meant today not to be a guilt, like go floss your teeth, because you're going to go home and you're going to be like, I know I should. I'm not going to do that. I want you to be encouraged because this is just basics, and this is going to help you, and it's going to glorify God. And there is a depth when you start digging into God's word, and you do it regularly. Do you know how you get a hunger for God's word? It's through spending time in God's word. The Holy Spirit does that. You do it a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and soon you have hunger for it. God does that for you. He just asks that you spend a little bit of time. So I encourage you, learn the word of God. If you're not, learn it. It bears your heart. It helps you understand who you are and helps you obey, helps you say yes to Jesus. Would you stand as we are dismissed this morning? Father God, thank you so much that you gave us your word so that we have some clarity about the story of the gospel. We have clarity about your teaching. We have clarity about Jesus. We have clarity about how to come to you. We have clarity about lots of things. We don't even need to ask. But thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks specifically to us when we just can't quite figure out or understand what the Bible's saying to us today, what it means and how to apply it. Father, I pray that for our small groups and for our groups of friends and as we gather and discuss the Bible, that as iron sharpens iron, Lord, that we would do that to each other. Father, thank you that you cut us deep into our heart, that we can't hide from you, and that's a good thing, but that you love us infinitely more than we ever deserve, and that you died so that we might be free, and you gave us your word so that we might be holy. Give us a wonderful week. May we dig into your word. May we find life and truth there. And make it significant in a way it hasn't been before, God, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you as you go today. If you can stay for coffee, that's great. Stack the chairs if you're able, and we'll see you next week.